fortunate to have Ben along this evening. He's got some wonderful expertise in things like blogs and social media and uses it quite a bit. He's also an incredibly active member of our community, and I believe that makes him an incredibly important member of our community as well. So he's involved with Eco Portal and the blog and Watch, Wodonga Albury Towards Climate Action and Climate Health.
Yeah,
the acronym to get that. Ben's a lecturer at La Trobe University in political science. Not really much more I can say except welcome, Ben, and thank you so much, and look forward to it.
Thanks for having me along tonight. Look, this is not going to be me standing up here and blah, 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 talking. This is a workshop. I'm just going to show you what I do with social media as much as I can. The delicious irony being we're locked out of social media sites on this particular internet system, but that's all right. I'll talk about them anyway. But I know Ali's talked me up a bit as being some kind of guru, but really, I just play around with this stuff and see what happens and find something that works for me and use it. There's no great mystery to using this stuff. It's just about logging on, having a go, see what it does. Can't break anything. Just try it. And the benefits of using social media for community groups are enormous. So can I just ask a pretty obvious question? What do you think the average age demographic is in this room?
Thanks for coming.
Thanks, Marcus.
Down a couple of decades.
Yeah, and look, that's not uncommon for most community groups around here, and in a lot of places it's the same deal. And most community groups communicate in a 20th century way. And if you're not plugged into social media these days, you're missing out on a whole massive, enormous audience that you could be plugging into with people like Martin and Lisa, who are students of mine, who are doing great things in the fields that we're interested in. But we don't know what they're doing, and they don't know what we're doing because we're not connected. And social media allows you to connect in that way. I've got a couple of examples from around the world. They're not really relevant to Friends of Willow Park or really any community groups around here. But the first one I'd like to talk about is there's a very famous pop song going around at the moment. I don't know if you've heard it, called Gangnam Style.
Yeah.
And it's by a South Korean rapper. Now, no one outside of South Korea had heard of him. He'd made 6 albums, but who would know? But only about 3 months ago, he made a video of his latest track called Gangnam Style, and he put it on YouTube. And up in that 3 months, he's had 400 million hits. And it's gone crazy around the world. And now he is a world-famous star. He's in Australia at the moment. He was on TV last night, I think. So that's an extreme example of posting video content on YouTube, a social media platform, to promote yourself, where if it catches on, you can reach an enormous audience very fast. So, Jenny, for something like your... Jenny Hoover, that is. The video of you and your street winning the award. Was it this year or last year? I can't remember.
Last year.
So that was on YouTube, and I'd be really interested to see how many hits that video's gotten now.
Well, when we put it on, we had to get people to vote for it, and we only got 300 votes. And remember that there was 20 houses, and my brother said to me, "What? You only have 15 friends each." So that was an example of us not managing to use social media.
Yes.
We had one of the women in the street saying, "You've got to get more votes," and we're going, "Well, we've got it on the net."
Now, I interviewed Jenny and put that video on my blog.
Did you?
So let's try and...
You probably got the other 3,000.
It's going to be too time consuming for me to find it because there's lots of posts on here. But the point is that got a fair amount of hits in the month or so after I posted it. with people who didn't know about it previously. People who found about the great things that were going on in, what is it, Central Place? Or
yes.
Yeah. I've got a good memory.
Excellent.
Yeah, people that were learning what you guys were doing on your street that would have never known about it. So, yeah, there's potential there. And even if that's just people here in Albury-Wodonga, that's a win. You don't have to be Gangnam Style getting 400 million visitors to your page. The other example about the power of social media, another global example I'd like to share, is the Arab Spring and the Egyptian Revolution. Now, some people have said with this was a social media revolution that made it happen. Well, that's not true. But what social media, things like Twitter and Facebook, did do was that they allowed people to organise and get mobilised really quickly in real time in ways that would have never been possible before that. So it really greased the wheels of what people are trying to do. So if community groups are smart, we're not going to bring down the government, but we can get campaigns moving much more rapidly than might otherwise have been possible. Now, professionally, I use Facebook and Twitter. I've been using Facebook in my job for a long time now. And so one thing with some of my students, they set up a group on Facebook, so you don't have to use your own profile. You can set up a group where you're not compromising your own personal privacy. And we use that as a point of interaction between me and the students. So how do you guys find that, the pack page?
Yeah, it's very useful, because otherwise we have to, email everything that we post to individual people, but this way that we can put something up that we find and it will automatically just reach all the people that are part of the page. So
yeah, so sharing useful documents.
So rather than emailing,
It's particularly useful if you're going to have an event and you're trying to get outside members into the event, because some people aren't part of your core membership but are interested in coming along to events, so you can keep them notified really quickly.
Yeah. Especially with PAC, we have a select group of people that are, I guess, core members that come along to meetings and that sort of thing. But then we have like over 50 people on the Facebook that can help when we run events.
So they run they've got a student-run politics club on campus. So they've got this page set up to help publicise their activities and get people involved. Mm-hmm. And for me, I access that by posting interesting material. Every time I post something on here, a blog post, I put a link onto their page so that they can get it. And that way I get heaps more traffic for this than I otherwise would have, because I've directed it at an audience that is going to want to read it rather than just hoping that it comes up in a search engine. So you can really target your audience and get traffic through and get people aware of what you're doing in a much more sophisticated way. As for Twitter, Twitter's similar. But it's just you're sending out short messages, so it's really like a notification service. And I'd love to have these things up so I could explain them properly. But basically, I've set up a Twitter account. I've only done it in the last month. And you start following other Twitter members, and they can be organisations or they can be people. And so I follow other academics in my field, or other academics that interest me, news organisations, think tanks, you know, anyone that's relevant to what I'm interested in. Now, people can find me because each person or organisation on Twitter has a list of the people that are following them. So if you're interested, say Martin is a famous academic, hypothetically, perhaps in the future, but anyway, he's got a Twitter page. And I'm interested to see who is following him and who he's following. So I go into those lists and then I find other people of like mind that then I can follow. So through this process, and people do the same to me, so people can reach me much more quickly than they otherwise would if I'm just floating in the ether. So it's a really good way to get people to find you, not just in local community or in Australia, but from around the world that have shared interests. And you can build up a network very rapidly in a way that you otherwise wouldn't be able to. And again, Twitter is a place where I can share links to blog postings. Anytime I publish a peer-reviewed article or something else, I put a link to it, or I can even attach the file on my tweet, which goes out. And it can be searched by anyone on Twitter. It goes out automatically to anyone who's following me. So again, rapid, using networks in a way for rapid communication. That's really good.
Just note too, at the Land Care Conference, the National Land Care Conference, it was mentioned there that a tweet is much more effective in attracting a media attention than is media release.
Yeah.
So, but I would imagine that means we need the media following us.
Yeah, which is really easy for them to do.
Yeah.
Mm. Once, if you're known, and I think Friends of Willow Park is well known amongst local media.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the other, and I'll come to blogs now. So this is my blog, Politics All Real Donga, which I set up 2.5 years ago now when I recorded some interviews with the candidates for Indi and Farah at the 2010 election. I needed somewhere to host these interviews and make them public. So I set this up, and little would I know, 2.5 years later, I would have had nearly 30,000 hits. So that's not bad for some amateur guy like me who's mucking around with a blog, just publishing his thoughts in All Real Donga. So if I can do that here, you guys, Friends of Willow Park, if you ran your own blog, publishing your own stories and thoughts, photos, videos, whatever, you'd have a much greater community reach than me as just one person who's only lived here for 3 years. So that is achievable.
And I didn't know it existed.
Mm.
Only found out
flying.
Yeah,
great. Yeah, please do. There's a lot of stuff on there now. There's about 200 postings, and I've had, it's not just me that posts on there. I have students post on there. So if any of my students get an A in one of their assignments, as both of these guys have, then I ask them if they'd like to contribute their posting online. And so I've got a number of students that have posted. Yeah, you've got one on there. Yeah, and Julie, you're on there too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was a good one. Also, these guys have been overseas, and so we published travel diaries with photos and their impressions. And so this has a really strong audience among young people and students. And it's democratic, so anyone in the group, like if Friends of Willow Park did this, all of you have the potential to post something on there. And ideally, you should too. Because one of the traps for community groups is you get stuck with one person being in charge of IT. And that's a big drain on that one person. I'm that guy for watch. And I'm begging other people to contribute all the time. But really, anyone can do it. This is a democratic technology, and if you're trying to foster a community, it really helps if everyone does contribute to these things, and it's a platform where you can.
And this is a bit interesting for me in terms of I've been a mind in the last few months that we ought to get out of the traditional newsletter, even though we email it, because in some ways it's a bit like, you know, the old newspapers versus online, and that we ought to be blogging, because I think it's more immediate.
Yeah, and it could work in a similar way.
In this, in terms of, because I think, you know, it's very intensive for us to get our bi-monthly newsletter up, and I don't know, you know, we send it out to a lot of people, but I don't know if they read it. It's not interactive, so you get no feedback.
Yeah.
Whereas a blog, we could get exactly the same sort of stuff out in a much more interactive way.
You've got a whole lot of articles now that you could put on a blog.
Yeah. Because I was thinking also about the article that Pam did for last time, and I think in there it is on a single newsletter. And it's now lost unless somebody's out, you know, whilst we archive it. But if that was in a blog, it would just have much more.
And it's archived. It's there for posterity.
So why aren't we using your website to post all of that?
Oh, well, we do. Yeah. But it's not the same. It's still.
Is it harder to use with the traditional website?
It's still a traditional way of going in to look for a newsletter, whereas I think
We've had a moderated blog once as part of our website before when we did the community consultation. And that was an interesting experiment for us.
How'd it go?
We didn't get a lot of people, but it was good to have the interaction. But again, we haven't had anybody who's been willing to moderate that sort of thing since.
Yeah, yeah.
Ben, can you show me, with your blog, how other people will post on it? Can other people, like if we say it's interactive...
Yeah, yeah, okay.
And I'm going, oh, I don't understand it enough to understand how it is interactive. I think it's...
The way I've set this one up is that if other people want to post on there, they have to send it through me, so I edit it for quality control purposes.
Yeah, that's
So I'm the only author. So what you do is, when you set it up... As the administrator, I can invite other people to be authors on there.
Right.
And so once you're set up to do that, and that's easy as I send you an email, you respond and say yes, and then you're on there.
Right.
And then you can post.
Okay.
I think that comments and stuff, people
don't
know, people understand.
Yeah, let's have a look at that.
I'll
open one up.
Yeah, add your comment and like it. Can you like from your blog? Just look at that.
Hey?
Can you like from your blog?
Yeah, you should be able to. Alright, so this is a posting. This is one of... What?
He's a bell boy, I was a bit worried about it. What's that? Oh, everything's blocked.
So this is a good example of me publicising myself. This is something I wrote for a British website a couple of months ago. And as the author, I can republish it myself under my own blog. And then I link to the original. So we'll just go down the bottom. This is some of this was taken from my recent trip to North Korea. So there's a bit of a bio. But this is the interesting part down the bottom here. So let's say someone stumbles across this and they go, oh, this is awesome, I want to share this. They're on Facebook, they click on that, and it automatically links to their Facebook page and however many hundreds of people are on their friend list. Email, you can email it to yourself. Twitter, you can share it again with whoever's following you. And these are other, social media platforms that I don't use, but are similar. You can print. LinkedIn is another one that Ali uses. If you like this page, you can click on that button there. And then that's good, because I find people from all over the world read this. They click on like, which then shows up their website or their email, and then I can contact them and we can have a discussion. Now, if you want to comment on there, and this is where you get the interactive part, then you type in the reply box here.
Okay.
So... And then then you can calibrate it so they have to identify themselves so you don't get trolls or people leaving nasty things on there. Now I've set it up so that once someone, it's moderated, so if someone writes a comment in there, it has to be approved by me before it goes public. Now I've only had one issue with a local nutbag. And you attacked him in the reply. I published it because I wanted other people to see this and contribute. I can't remember who it was. It was quite a while ago now.
Did they get their name up too?
No, these idiots use fake names and don't identify themselves. So generally, sometimes it's good to cop that so you can allow other people to go into bat for you. Or you can just say, no, this is too ridiculous. I'm not publishing this. But you can calibrate it so that it doesn't have to be moderated. You can have it on whatever privacy setting you want, whatever you feel comfortable with. But this way, so what happens once it's been approved, I'll bring one up that actually does have comments. So, you're kidding. Come on. We'll get out of that one. Let's go and look at this blog. Ah, yeah, here we go, this one. Got a comment from Ali. So yeah, this is a presentation like this that I did with the Wodonga Council Youth Club, and I recorded it just like I'm doing now, and I've put the audio up there so anyone else that doesn't attend can still access this. And I had a PowerPoint slideshow, and I've also got that there so people can download that and access this. And also for me, on a personal level, this is good evidence for resume building to have all this online. But down the bottom, we get past that. Oh, you commented on the other website. Yes, what I've done here is, because this is new, I've moved all the postings that I did on the old blog over to here.
Is blog is more interactive space.
Yeah.
And for a group to set up a blog, there's an opportunity for people to share structurally within the blog.
You can have it. You can have it private so that only group members come in. You have to log in to access it, or you can have it public like this so that everyone can see it. One of the other reasons I set it up was I got sick of sending off article submissions to newspapers and websites and stuff, hoping to be published. And I thought, stuff this. I want to cut out the middleman. I'm getting this out there. So it's a really good way of reaching the public without having to negotiate with editors of some kind. And especially in a small place like this where there's limited media opportunities and you're very open to the biases of their editorial process. Like, I despair every time Watch does something and they take photos of us, and every time, without fail, they pick the stupidest photo of us looking strange. Without fail, 100% certain that they do this. And, you know, is that the public face that you want to project? Do you want to be captive to that kind of editorial policy? I mean, it's great to get in the Border Mail or on the news or whatever, but you don't want that to be your only public projection. So here you've got complete control of your public image and your message. So, yeah, I'd really encourage that.
So, do you guys read the blog occasionally?
Yeah. I probably look at the blogs more than all of that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And because I'm not really in favour of
the blog. I don't read the Border Mail much.
I read the Border Mail when I know I'm in it, which is not very often. But I read Facebook 3 times a day, so, you know, where's your audience? Who are you trying to reach?
Just as I was driving, running late, and I'm very, very sorry.
That's all right, Nicole.
I was listening to the ABC, and they were just talking about all the Facebook people that were just sending in messages.
Yeah.
And it was from all over the place. That was really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So have I missed Facebook?
Oh, we can't log in. We've been blocked from Facebook and Twitter. I've talked about it a little bit, but without having it up there, it's really hard to.
Our group is on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I've liked it.
And when we post something, we actually get responses. So, and it can, if we don't do anything, nobody does anything with it. I'm sure they're not reading it. There's just nothing happening at all. But I only have to do about community gardening or like tonight, and the reach goes up quite dramatically.
Yep.
And we actually get people then either posting a little message or liking it. So it's good to know that. It's a good way for us to know that people are actually taking some notice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's really interesting that you mentioned you've got to keep your traffic up.
Keep the traffic up, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. If you're not posting on there, no one's going to access it. So
But it doesn't actually. But you don't. It does. What I've found is you don't have. It doesn't have to be anything
that is overly complicated.
Oh, no.
Like it can just be a line or two or a link to something or a reminder that the newsletter's gone onto the website or putting up a photo, and it's amazing then, you know, the hits we get on it.
And am I right then in that that's because whenever we put something on there, whoever's liked our page or whoever comments on something, then all of their friends can actually see that on their page.
That's
so
right.
Then they might go, oh, well, I'll have a look, and then, and so it can be an exponential.
Snowball very fast.
Yeah, absolutely.
So just clicking the like button, bang, it's an automatic subscription to whatever gets posted on there from then on. So easy. You don't even have to type. You just one click of the mouse.
So it's just a matter of getting into the habit.
Yeah. And like I really like posting links to interesting articles because I, you know, think there's a, sometimes an information deficit about things that I'm interested in with the people that I'm trying to reach. So I can be, as an academic, a useful conduit of information because I have access to things that most people don't. Mm. So what I use it for, slightly different perhaps from what Friends of Willow Park might use it for, but I think the applications are there.
I noticed it uses WordPress to set it up. How hard is that to do, and who is hosting and who's paying for the hosting?
Yeah, WordPress is a free hosting.
No, it's a free software. Someone would have to be paying for it.
Yeah, so what happens is that they will insert ads here and there in your posting in exchange for doing that. But the amount of ads that are on there decrease according to how many hits you get and how many times you post. So if you're just on there clogging up their memory, not using it properly, then there's lots of ads. But like my page has very few ads now because it's got lots of traffic and it's got lots of posts.
How hard is it to set it up? Like, say you download the software and it almost starts up by itself?
You don't even have to download it. It's completely online. It's logging in, really creating an account. Then there is a little bit of playing around that's required. I mean, you can choose a template, which is what I've done. And then you can play with the colours. You can decide what you want on the sidebar and what boxes you want, but it's quite easy. And that's a list of all the authors that have been on there. So there's links to websites, links to local groups. There you are. Yeah, and RSS, this is another way of subscribing. Does anyone use RSS?
Somebody called anyone about that the other day. Can you tell us more about it?
Yeah, it's sort of like email. It's using something called an online reader. So I use Google Reader, which you can access via google.com. And then if you click on an RSS, a link on any website, then it's like a subscription. It sends stuff to your reader. So it's like an email inbox, but specifically for information from other websites. So you don't use it to communicate with other people. It's purely as an information gathering place. But I think readers are sort of going a bit out of style now. They've been outdated by Twitter and other things. But I still use mine.
So you can't use that for photos and things. It's mainly just information?
For a posting, like for RSS for posts, if someone clicks that, then every time there's a new posting on my website, they'll get sent a link.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Not to their email, to someone.
Or if you click on the comments one, it'll just send you comments. Or you can click on the RSS link in individual postings. So every time someone comments on that, it'll get sent to you, but not everything else.
So it gets sent to you, like you were saying, does it come through the email or does it come through Facebook?
It goes through the reader.
So you have to open?
Yeah, that's like logging into Hotmail or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like Hotmail.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm a bit behind.
No.
Don't worry, I don't know what RSS is.
Yeah, but I really encourage you, if you want to learn more about these things, the best way to do it is open an account, just play with it, see what it does.
So how do you start a blog?
Well, you go to WordPress.com.
So it is WordPress. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You've got to start running. Okay.
Yeah, so I'll, let's go there. Yeah. My patience for someone who's professing to be an IT guru.
Hey, my iPhone's taken forever to try and pin the network in.
Yeah.
Your internet's down. Internet is completely down.
It's just 3G. Not connected. It's slow and it's never like this.
So do you use Facebook when you're out and about, like to upload photos? For me, like I've come because I want to do some stuff for the market. So if I was wanting to take photos of what's happening at the market and the new produce, so I could take a photo and then upload it?
So yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And so from there I could also tweet, is that?
Yeah.
So do you tweet?
Yep.
Yeah, I've heard some really positive things about Twitter.
I've only set it up in the last month, so I'm still toying with it myself.
Yeah.
But yeah, every time I post something on the blog, or if I've got photos, or if I find something interesting from elsewhere, I just tweet it and it has the link.
Well, I've got one.
I'm going to pay her.
I think that the ability to post photos and audio and video is really powerful for community groups. Because it shows people what you're doing. Anyone can read something and it may or may not relate to what the reader's everyday life. But if they can see what you're doing, see you as a human being doing stuff that they could do, it's far more powerful than just some written text.
So even, you know, if you've got a blog, but for me to do just start baby steps with Facebook, and I have a link to some really interesting stuff about farmers market, and then just place that link onto the Facebook.
Yeah. And then Facebook automatically will come up with a picture from that page and the title.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so you don't have to type anything other than just copy the link in. And
it sounds like you should be better off with a Facebook group rather than...
Yeah.
Having that so that you can post on. There's two of us now. Yeah. So I've got somebody else who started it, but I'm just.
Yeah. Look, it was unfortunate because I was going to show you the watch group
on
Facebook, and I just set that up 2 weeks ago as well.
Oh, did you?
And we've been having the same discussion that we're having right now in watch. And for similar reasons. And it's been up for about 9 or 10 days. We've already got about 30 likes. So 30 people will follow everything that we put on there. I look at our webpage, which is a blog, but because it doesn't have much traffic, it doesn't get many visits. We'd have had about 10 visits in the last 6 months. Facebook page has had maybe 100 visits in the last 9 days. So.
And you can see, like, because I've just been put as an admin or something, I can see the traffic that's coming. Right. It's really interesting, the peaks and troughs. So that's what you're talking about before, about
the
travel
insurance. So what do you use to look at monitoring
your
hits on there?
On the blog.
The blog has it?
Yeah, so it's got the front page, but then when you log in as the author or the administrator of the blog, then it's got something called a dashboard, and that has all the stats. So it's got daily stats. It tells you if they've come from a different website or a different search engine, where they've come from. It tells you what pages within the blog they've clicked on. So, yeah, you get a lot of useful information. And you can chart over time, you know, what the peaks and troughs are.
So, will Jenny be putting Watchword onto Facebook? A link to it or not?
No. This is another discussion we've been having about whether to make it public or is it just for the people on the subscription list. And at the moment, it's still for people on the list. But some of it's been put on EcoPortal.
Yeah.
Oh, goody.
Can I just mention something too? At the Landcare conference, because there was a lot about social media and how important it is, But there was a group down in Gippsland, I think, who they had a little video of like their gardening day, and it was only 3 minutes, but it was a funny something happened in it that was quite funny. And they put it on, apparently went viral, went around the world. And the activity on their site, just from that little film, was huge. And they also reported they had a lot more people coming to their activities as well.
You mentioned videos. Video is just so much more exciting than a photo or even a series of photos. But what about privacy and, if you took photos of your students or if you had a video, you'd have to get permissions and all of that? Or
yeah, it was just as simple as saying, do you mind?
Did you have to do that with photos anyway?
Yeah.
It's a common courtesy. But if it's people in your group doing group stuff.
Yeah, well, we have students from the Catholic College, so we sort of have to be a bit careful, perhaps.
Now, we should have, though, permission forms that when they can't, of course, you'd have to get parental permission.
You want to be careful, because I'm here at this school, and there are children who have got blockers on that you can't take photos of them, even if they tell you you can.
Yeah. Look, it's about using your common sense.
Media release forms.
Yeah, but if you ask a kid, you can. Yeah. But if it's legally, the courts have said no. Yeah.
Well, you don't ask the kid, you ask the parents. Yeah. And if it is a situation where it's going to be more complicated, then don't post that.
Yeah.
Post things that you know are safe. Post things that include lots of people in the photo, because if it's a big group, who cares? You don't need permission for that. It's more like close-up stuff where people are easily identifiable that you really have to worry about. Really just use your discretion about what you post. Try to post stuff that's got group members in it who have already consented in the past, so you just don't have to go through the rigmarole.
Video, like from the phone, is that okay? I haven't tried it yet, but or is it better from a video camera?
Probably from a video camera. It'd be a high quality. But my phone is 7 years old, so I'm probably the wrong person to ask about integration with mobiles and touch phones and that.
My phone's pretty good.
Yeah, the video quality is much better now than it used to be.
Question I've got, in starting to set up, thinking about setting up a package or a whole suite of options, would you suggest going with the one provider, something like your Google Suite and a Gmail, use the Drive, use some of that, approach, so you've got your emails, your everything else sort of looped through and just comments about that or your suggestions about how you set yourself up with that whole package of...
Yeah, that's interesting.
Into a group.
I did try that and I found that just added another email that I had to check. So it was easier for me to just use my work email. Although I've got 4 email addresses. I had a 5th and it was too much. And they all are for something different, but you don't want to duplicate work. What may seem integrated may end up being more work, but you have to try it out to find out what works. So it's really, hit and miss, or trial and error, I should say.
What about security issues? I think there are a few concerns about that, but again, it's sort of a matter of just trying things and looking around and spending time.
It depends which social media you're looking at.
About Facebook.
Facebook, because you're going to set up a group, a Facebook page for the group, so you're not sharing your personal stuff on there. And again, the golden rule with Facebook is if you don't want everyone in the world to see it, then don't put it on Facebook. And I'm sure you guys have seen young people and teens in particular like to share their whole lives on Facebook, and you just look at that and think, oh, what are you doing? If you don't want unwanted attention from Facebook, then don't put stuff on there that's going to draw that attention. And But for a group like this, you're using it to publicise, so you're not. It's unlikely that you're going to put anything on there that's going to be
that bad.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so what was our demographic?
Without me included.
That's false.
But if you get a troll that writes something horrible on there, you can report that to Facebook. You can block them as a user so they can't get on there.
Yeah. It's really easy. Facebook's been up for, you know, RIP recently.
Yeah. And I was worried about that when I started the blog. I thought, I know there's some pretty toxic people around here that might say something bad, but. But one.
So,
yeah, considering the amount of traffic it's had, I'm surprised they haven't got more.
Interesting souls on.
I think if you're doing it for a community group, you're fairly safe in that kind of aspect. That you rarely would get attacked for something like this.
Mm. But the exciting thing is, sometimes it's good to be attacked. Because then it rallies your community, the community of your group, to respond. And that can be a very powerful response that can get even more support and can
get
foster the feeling that you actually are a community.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we wouldn't do this stuff if we weren't emotionally invested, would we?
Some of the kids stuff. My daughter showed me.
I don't want to know about people spending a day with different people.
Yeah,
why you post those things on.
You know, I had an interesting debate with Sophie's campaign manager on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
A lot of
onlookers. Yeah. But you could, like.
To politely shut it down.
Yeah, but you could have that debate in private on Facebook. You can do the private message thing where it's not in the public eye. Mm-hmm. So that's probably the way to go if you're going to do that kind of thing.
Really? It came in on the conversation.
Yeah, I'm fairly new to Twitter as well, but I'm focused being a sustainability nerd. I'm finding it really useful for the groups that I'm following. And I can just go there once a week if I want and just have a look at what all the groups I'm following have posted. And like yesterday, I came up with a fantastic resource. So. But I did, in my playing around with the settings and privacy and all that on Twitter, I found that you can also link it to Facebook so that when you post something on Twitter, it'll automatically post to your Facebook page
as well.
So it saves a bit of time, maybe.
So is Twitter, do you just do short, sharp things on Twitter?
Not yet, it's 140 characters. All I've done is actually... like put other tweets on or so I found something that a group that I'm following that is really interesting, so I've retweeted it. So yeah, I haven't actually written anything on my tweet site. I've just posted links that are
So when you tweet, like, how do you get into these groups? Like,
just search for sustainability. You might search for markets, farmers markets.
Yeah, so let's say I log on, I'm interested in people like me that I want to network with. I might search for Ali, I find her page, and then I click on the follow link. So every time she tweets something, it comes to me.
Yeah.
And then I look through the list of her followers and also another list of the people that she's following, and then I can find other people to follow myself. And the more people that you follow, or the more groups you follow, the more chance there is of other people finding you.
So it's just getting out there. How long do you spend on that?
Like,
times
my
rate.
Really,
you could spend all day on there.
You could spend all day on there.
But for me, my only purpose, I don't care what other people are tweeting. I want people to find me. So it's very quick. I just go on there to tweet what I want to get out to the world. But if you want to see what other people are tweeting, then you can have a browse. You can search for search terms. It'll bring up tweets related to that. So... if I want to find stuff published in a given day on North Korea, I type in North Korea and it'll bring up all the tweets on there. So, yeah, it's pretty powerful.
Yeah, one of the markets in Bendigo uses it to tweet and Facebook, and they tweet the leaders in the community, and then by them, after tweeting with them and Facebooking with them, it gets out to an even broader lot. So their market attendance is big, and their restaurant people and all sorts of things. So it's just targeting.
And there's always a danger that you feel like you're alone when you're doing sustainability or environmental-based work. And when you get onto these media sites and you link up with people in your town, people elsewhere, people around the world even, and you see you're not alone, you're part of a massive network. And that was part of the rationale for EcoPortal, wasn't it? This, and so what I'm talking about is EcoPortal on steroids. So, to use a crude term.
That websites you have to actually go into.
Yeah.
Whereas Facebook, for instance, well, I know you have to start off in there, but you can actually, once it's open, you're getting a constant feed through. Whereas you can go looking at, you know, a website is essentially static unless it's being designed in a way that it's feeding out. I mean, you know, I know there aren't very many. I mean, our website is, you know, web one plain website. That
if you click on the RSS feeds, then every time something's changed on the website, you'll get a thing of it.
You've got to encourage people to do that.
Yeah, so think the websites are still important.
Yeah.
Or the blog. So they're more or less static. But the social media, the other social media like Twitter and Facebook, get people to your website much more effectively than the more random way through searching.
And I think the other thing you mentioned earlier, it's the way they can take off by the link to the link to the link.
Yeah,
the,
yeah.
It's that whole, snowballing.
Yeah, so look, I'd encourage it, just have a play with this stuff, see what it does.
Yep. Using clouds?
I don't know anything about clouds.
Oh, you don't know?
That's the limit of my powers.
Blogs in the cloud.
Oh, there you go, it's the idea.
It's not blogs. That's a different.
Cloud services is more for us storing information than for the public.
Yeah.
But
which is good for.
Oh, yeah, really.
No, what's that?
SEO.
I might after this.
You have keywords that once people search that, they kind of get you in the top pages of Google kind of stuff. So, in the top pages. So, if you're
Is that where you have to punch in the code for Google? And
you can use it through Google Analytics, but I think there's other search engines.
Yeah.
And the amount of times it comes up on
your
page, then it gets higher on the rating of the search.
Yeah. Not that I'm aware of. But no, that's good to know. Because that again maximises your audience, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So your page minimises searching for what you're putting out there.
Yeah, there's something like that on Twitter, whereas you've got a word that you want people to search for. Then you put a hashtag in front of it in your message. So then every time someone searches for that, your tweet will get on the search list. Yeah, I only discovered this a week ago.
Let's say that about the hashtag again.
Yeah, so let's say I write a tweet about North Korea. North Korea is the word I want people to be able to find in a search, so I put a hashtag in front of it. And then every time someone searches for the term North Korea, my tweet will be in that list. Whereas if I don't do that, then it's less likely to come up in the search.
Q&A.
Yeah.
You said the more across the
body.
What is that in the middle of that?
We now know.
Bruce, can I ask, do you know how many people
clipped onto RSS for our website?
It might be in the statistics page. Yeah. Mm. Could well be because that statistic page is so huge.
Yes,
it's very lengthy. Yeah. So we might be able to find out too.
Well, I'm just wondering, you see, because I certainly have never done it.
No, I haven't either.
I think if the committee hasn't even done RSS on our website, like, does that mean nobody has?
They probably should say, you know exactly what's going on.
Look, if we weren't having connectivity issues, I'd show you right now how that works, but I think that one might be blocked too. The good thing to have is to have an email subscription option, an RSS, and then have the Facebook and Twitter and other social media sharing links on there. So however people want to find you or want to link up with you, they can. They've got options depending on what their favourite platform is.
So does that mean that when the website is updated, could we have those updates linked immediately to our Facebook site? Because at the moment we don't.
There's a Facebook link on the website.
Yes, but in terms
when you post.
If we update the website, is there a way of actually then putting an immediate post on Facebook?
There is on WordPress. So you can nominate what Facebook account you want it sent to. You punch that in, so every time you do a post it goes straight away. You don't have to do anything.
So WordPress is both a blog as well as just a website?
Or is this just a blog platform just a blog platform?
It's a blog platform.
Right, thank you.
But essentially a lot of organisations are just using the blog platform now for the website purpose because it's a bit more functional than the old school website design.
You've just done all the work on the website.
what are the ways for us to make this website work better for us? Because at the moment, for us to get it on to Facebook, I have to know that Bruce has actually updated the website so that I can then put something onto Facebook. But it's still a two-step process.
Yeah.
Even if I know Bruce has done it, it takes then the second step for me to put it on Facebook. I'm wondering is
why can't Bruce do that?
Well, Bruce does a lot of stuff.
That's right.
But yeah, I mean, that's the obvious reason. But you could do it and not have to. It'd take you about 12 seconds.
To do what? Sorry.
So once you've updated the website, copy the link onto Facebook.
We're used to, so
it's the updated.
Yeah.
It's on your website.
RSS
isn't on the website, it's not an option.
Well, it was. I went to Facebook and I saw that you said the newsletter will be up by Friday.
Yes.
I
better put it up.
This is the other reason why it's good for everyone in the group to be able to have access to right on the website rather than one person, because then you don't get that bottleneck.
And that's what my blog will do.
Yeah. On Facebook, if you've got your page, anyone can be an administrator on it. So the original administrator, which is probably you, Julie.
Well, there are three of us, but I think it's now me.
Yeah, so you can invite other people to be administrators on there. Yeah.
Don't do it anymore. Okay. But, you know, I don't even know the password. The person who set it up can't remember. So I'm the administrator by default.
We use the same platform as EcoPort. Do you know that
it's
like WordPress
or
Drupal?
I don't know. Do you have to actually do the HTML?
Yes.
WordPress.
We didn't do that.
Yeah. See, the good thing about WordPress is that you're using a template, so you don't need any programming knowledge or anything. You just type into it and it does its thing. Yeah, you don't need any technical knowledge to use it.
Sorry, what's that?
On WordPress?
Oh, on WordPress.
Yeah.
WordPress is similar to Drupal. It's a sort of competitor. There's other ones.
So I would say Drupal probably does have a direct here when I post it up and send it to Facebook as well.
Probably, yes. Yeah. It's huge. They're both. And WordPress is not just blogging, it's it's got all the other features. And
so have you guys got anything you'd want to add at this point?
Well, I think you've covered
it. Yeah, the importance of being on Facebook with a group, like a community group like this, especially with our group for AYCC. We have, I think, 5 people that come to meetings, but we have over 50 on
local
folks. So they're not in other locations, they're in this area. So if we do decide to run an event or that sort of thing, people can come to that and they can hear what we're doing even if they're not coming to meetings.
I think it's also important to also, like you were talking about the website, it's also important to have the website still because you can put the bulk of your content on the website. It's just a matter of actually getting people to the website.
Yeah,
just
what Facebook does. It's a good link to other things. Like rather than having everything on Facebook, it's a good way of just saying, look, here's the link to this, and then people will go to it rather than having to track it down themselves.
And what would be interesting for us to do, Bruce, is to track, like if we actually looked at, you know, if we did more links between Facebook and the website,
yes,
what it does in terms of the hits to the website, it would be actually interesting to track some of that. So,
What was the way you used to drive a lot of your people to the Facebook? Like, how did you get most of your friends?
You get the core members that will actually automatically friend you.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they have friends of their own
who
will follow their friends that will friend their friends.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, within a couple of days, you'll have 100 members.
Yeah, it started off just our friends and all our friends that had similar interests and then their friends and community members and people from Watch and that sort of thing.
Because the idea is to drive them from awareness to activate, to being an activist and then some will go from being an activist to the core membership. But
that notion of snowball.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're taking them from just being
from
aware
to
then slowly becoming involved by following the...
Yeah. So hopefully some of the 50 people that are on our Facebook now will transition into actual members that come to meetings eventually.
So and you don't, you're not in control of what that spark might be for any one person.
Yeah.
It's a very personal conversion process to action. But if they're in the orbit, they're much more likely, the spark's much more likely to light fire.
Yeah.
So they always have the option to come along if they want.
Well, I know when we were nominated for the National Aid Care Award, and I put that on the Facebook site, quite a few people then actually took that and linked it then into their own website. Into their own Facebook site.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew they did that because they're friends on my Facebook. Mm-hmm. So I actually did see it go in other directions of, you know, this is a group that I think, you know, you should be aware of and you need to vote for.
Mm-hmm.
So some of that snowballing occurred in that instance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and all they have to do is like or comment.
Yeah,
and it shows up on their own.
Now, I'd like to run a test. Now, I've been recording this discussion. For the purpose, if it's okay with everyone here, posting it on my blog so that other people can listen to the debate we've had. So does anyone disagree with that or doesn't want to be involved or have it published? All right, so if that's cool, so I'll make a blog posting. But then what I'll do is I'll paste that link onto the Friends of Willow Park Facebook page.
Okay.
And then we can all see where it goes. Interesting experiment.
Yeah, well, yeah. I think the other thing that's interesting is we've got a few different generations here, and yet we're all trying to do the same thing, trying to attract people to...
And I'll post that interview I did with you and Julie from a couple of years ago. I'll post that link on there too.
We don't have that link to our website or our Facebook.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Our current Facebook is just a single member of Facebook, so a group.
Anybody can join it, but we're there as a group, is that what you mean? So there's an administrator behind.
I'm just trying to get the difference between, you said set up a group on Facebook.
That's good that you brought that up. You can have a page, which then people just click the like button and it's like they've subscribed.
Which is what we've got.
Yeah, or you can have a group which you can make private so that only people who are...
Yeah.
Part of the group.
Comment on it.
Yeah, and it's not publicly visible, or you can make it publicly visible.
But you can set that group up from your page.
Yeah.
So you don't have to do a whole new page, you actually set it up from your page.
So
in our current Facebook, we make all the members.
We
could, but not all of our members have actually liked us on Facebook.
So okay. You could have a committee on that.
Yeah, that would probably be a really good way, because if you make a page up, like where it's just that group of people, like so all your committee members, then someone posts on and everybody will get a little notification saying, oh, look, I've done, and it won't just be on your timeline, it'll be just that little notification.
Another thing is
quite helpful.
There's an option, you might actually get new people that you haven't even heard of wanting to join the group, because when you upload the group, it then matches in Facebook to similarities and interests of other people, like, for instance, what they've liked. There might be another sustainability group that they've liked in the local region. And therefore, your group will come up on their suggested membership links, and they click like that way, and that's another way of getting people, outside people, into your organisation.
So then the group can't be a closed group, it has to be an open group? Or?
No, it's a private group, but as an administrator for the group,
you have to approve it.
People will say, request to join that group, and then I'll say...
How will they find out about it if it's closed?
It can be completely closed, so that it's invite only.
It's not completely closed, but only people that are part of the group can comment. The group is visible.
Yes.
And so if you see the group and say, request to join it, then I can say, you're a complete loony, I'm not going to add you, or I can say, sure, I'm going to add you.
So the idea is that you still approve
them. Yeah, so you still have the living in your...
It's not what we would use for communicating between...
It can be. There's three different settings. There's completely closed, there's restricted, which is what Lisa's just said, or there's completely public. So with the restrict, completely closed one, it's a closed shop, so you can comment it's not publicly available. For the restricted one, it is publicly visible, but only people in the group can comment on it and contribute. And in the public one, it's open slather. So
that might be good for members, the restricted one.
Yeah.
We could have sort of live conversations on a Facebook group. If they come in, you can all have a chat.
So if everyone's online at the same time, so say five of us are online at the same time, you can have chats and that sort of thing, just like instant messaging.
A committee meeting.
Good one. I posted an article, something about international relations, I can't remember, and how many was it, like 100 different comments under that article on the politics page, people following up on the conversation, and just like 7 or 8 people that were involved in this discussion, and it was really great.
It ended up turning into like several different topics as it progressed. And
probably got more out of that than a tutorial at uni, it was that good an experience.
Sometimes it's taken to a mini tutorial.
Yeah, so it has the capacity to be really good like that as a discussion tool.
But I think, it has to be a group thing, like a democratic process, because if it's constantly one person that's posting all that stuff, they obviously can't keep replying to themselves and adding things.
Mm.
You need someone else to get that feedback. That's why it's important to have a group thing.
And also, if you get them to post on your Facebook page, they're more likely to come along to your meetings because they don't feel such of an outsider because they feel
already met.
Involvement in the participation process.
So, would you suggest to this group that we work on the Facebook angle or set up a blog? Which is more...
I really suggest doing one at a time and getting comfortable with one. And I think the Facebook one, because you've already got a website... do the Facebook thing first, get comfortable with it, get some protocols about how the group is going to use it, and try and get like a democratic participation going there first. And then maybe progress to the blog, which is a little bit more complicated, but very easy once you know what you're doing.
I've actually been contemplating a blog in my retirement.
Or one.
Or one.
Or one.
If you go to the about link onto my blog at the top, and I've sort of succinctly outlined my exact rationale for why I have the blog and why I maintain it. So that might give, although it won't apply to you directly, it'll give you some insight into why I'm doing it, and some of it might be applicable.
So how do we get onto your blog?
There's a link in the flyer I sent out.
Which one did you put on there?
Our politics.
Go to the new one, drbenjaminhabib.wordpress.com. And there is a link to politics or Wodonga on the left of that as well. But yeah, as I unfortunately have to leave this community at the end of the year, politics or Wodonga is not going to travel with me. So it'll still be up and running, it'll still be there, but I've set up another one so I can keep contributing just under my own name. Politics or Wodonga does, because it's had so much traffic now. The new one, not so much, needs a few more hits to get popular.
Maybe you could email me the link.
Yeah, sure. We'll put it on our Facebook. I've also linked to the new one from Politics or Wodonga as well, on the top right hand side in one of the top boxes.
That should be able to get you there again. I'm wary of the time, and that's been absolutely fascinating. Thanks so much, Ben. I was sort of feeling like a bit, maybe shall I go home and hop online and have a play? But I know I've been sort of playing with this stuff for a little bit more just recently, and it does get a lot less scary the more you play with it, and you know, you can't really break it. But hopefully you've all been inspired to sort of hop on, and yeah, you can't break anything, so just have a play. But yeah, look, I think it's a really important area for us to get into, and yeah, I'm sure everyone feels a little bit more familiar with it, and it's a shame we couldn't actually see it, and I think because we couldn't actually see it, I don't know, I wouldn't mind even suggesting another workshop to actually have a play and get everyone familiar with using these tools. Might be a good idea.
If you have another one, I'll give the period to give me the password so I can get in.
Yeah, if you want to do a hands-on workshop where we can actually set one up and go through it, be happy to do that.
It'd be wonderful if you could come back.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you. I wasn't expecting that. That's
yeah, but have a look at, if you get onto Twitter, and I think it's www.twitter.com@DrBenjaminHabib. Again, just one word. No, it rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? I don't usually like to flash my credentials except when I'm dealing with stupid people who I want to exert authority over.
Or when you want to be upgraded to an airplane.
Yeah, I don't get any love at airports because of my surname, but.
Of course.
Do you get searched every time?
I get the bomb test more often than not. I usually do on the return trip.
It's about getting back into the country.
Yeah.
So, we'll wrap up. But, thank you very much for coming as well, everybody. And thank you very much, Martin and Lisa, as well. Really valuable comments, really helpful for us. And it's nice to know that you guys are dealing with similar issues to what we are trying to attract people. So that's kind of helpful as well. Now, could everybody please make sure they sign the attendance register as well? It's really important for us, and we're trying to make things happen. It's nice to have that sort of information. And we can all enjoy a cuppa and a little bite to eat. And maybe like a drop of red.
Yeah.
Thank you so very much, Ben.
Oh, thank
really
you.
Appreciate Cheers. It. And no doubt you'll share it with Martin and Lee.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Tea, coffee.